This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
I don't need to tell you, it's day four of this nationwide protest over fuel prices. Protesters holding firm. If you're affected today, let me know. How are you impacted? 087 1400 106. Send us in your voice notes. What's traffic like in your locality? And more importantly, 4 days on, do you agree with the protesters? We want to hear from you throughout the programme again today. We've been talking about it in great detail for the past number of days. We're going to stick with it. Shane Gleeson is on the line. Shane owns a number of spar shops and garages across Limerick. Shane, you have run out of fuel.
We have. We've two stations in Limerick. The one in Punches Cross ran out last night at 10:30. And our one at on the Castle Troy side, we ran out at 2 o'clock here yesterday then. So we're in the middle of the storm, I suppose you could say.
Yeah. Has this ever happened before, Shane?
Not in my memory. I heard my father talking about it in the 70s, but I've never experienced this before. So you have a sense of panic in the area now. We've people calling in every 10 minutes, calling in, when are you getting it, are you getting it back? And sure, we're as wise as everybody else. We have no idea when we're getting it back.
No idea. And, you know, paint the picture for listeners, because we heard from a number of different callers to the programme yesterday, you know, about scenarios in the West and in Kerry. But in Limerick at the moment, I presume
Limerick
long queues
bad.
Yesterday, was there, for the station?
There was long queues everywhere. I had one of the large local nursing homes ring me only an hour ago, wanting to know, is there any way they could secure some supplies? They've worked out they're going to lose half their staff by Monday. They simply won't be able to get into work. So those kind of scenarios are obviously very worrying. We have a large number of nurses also came in and said similar things. Because we're at the edge of the city, you've a lot of the staff that would maybe live in places like Nina. So they're driving in half an hour to go over to the UHL or wherever. And they're just not going to be able to get to work within a couple of days. Obviously, nobody's going to have more than 2 or 3 days worth of fuel in their tank if they're driving those distances. So it's a big issue.
Quotas or rationing, was that something you were doing yesterday, Shane?
We didn't. We thought about doing it, and I thought it was just going to cause too much trouble. There'd be too much aggression and whatever, and I said I just wouldn't go there. So I gave everybody whatever they wanted until they finished. Much more than that we could do.
Yeah,
the other problem we're going to have as well is supplies of food, because our local bread supplier, which is Brennan's, have told us they're unlikely to fuel for their vans by Monday. So obviously that's going to be quite serious then. And that'll obviously follow through the whole network bit by bit.
Yeah, you see, and this is the real concern. And I know this, you know, the meeting that's happening today, and there's a whole big furore over the past number of hours about who's asked and who's invited and who wasn't invited and who's going to be stopped. And we'll get plenty more details about that here on News Talk throughout the afternoon. 1800 453 106 is the number. But the reality of this now, Shane, is that, like, as you say, you have the nurses, you have the nursing homes, they're calling you. I mean, I'm sure people they're crying out now looking for supplies.
They are, yeah. And I'm sure they're phoning every petrol station in town just trying to see, can some be held back for them? But the reality is there's no real mechanism for doing that. And the nursing homes don't have fuel supplies on site. They can't provide their staff with fuel. So it's a very big issue. Will they be able to stay open at all? Is going to be an issue. So obviously something has to be done.
Stay with me, Shane. Just hang on there for 1 second. I just want to bring Bill. Bill is with us. Bill, you are a healthcare worker, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, and you're one of the... Not at all. Thanks for getting in touch with us. So I think you might be one of the people Shane's talking about, and that, so you can't get into work today, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. I live in the Midlands. I work in Dublin. I travel 120 kilometres every day to and from work. But I just couldn't get in this morning. Yeah, and I'm going to try and keep the emotion out of this because I know it's a very emotive issue. Yeah, and I've heard the protesters' side over the last few days. I've heard the government's side. And I understand both sides of it. I really do. Now, the thing that struck me was they say, well, we're letting emergency services through, the ambulances and so on. Now, that's fine. But to add to what your last caller said is, who's going to be in the hospitals to meet those ambulances? Who's going to be there to help those patients? Like, you know, it's, I'm sure I'm not the only one that can get into work, but your last caller emphasized that as well. And next week, it's going to be mayhem, I'd imagine.
So had you left work, Bill, this morning to try to get to work?
No, I was aware, I saw on Facebook that there were blockages planned along my route to work. So I just rang in. I'm doing the best I can from home, but I need to get in and see my clients and that. But here's the thing now. Letting ambulances through is fine, but staff need to get into work as well. So what we have at the moment, as you well know, is that the two sides won't talk to each other. So I'd just like to propose some sort of a solution. Government, the protesters and the guards and the army, they need some sort of method to allow at least healthcare workers to get into work, you know, because there's no point ambulances getting by and then healthcare staff being stuck in traffic.
But there's no point in somebody arriving on a stretcher to the hospital and you and others and colleagues and the medical people aren't there to meet them and help them.
Yeah, and I've spoken to people during the week who missed surgery, waiting for years for surgery, and they had to cancel because they couldn't get in for it. You know, I just imagine, like, I have children and I remember the panic, you know, in the lead up to their mother going into labour and trying to get them to the hospital on time. So how many women and fathers-to-be are in that situation right now? Imagine being stuck in that jam and you can't get into hospital. Or I've heard of people who need dialysis and they're stuck as well. They can't travel. So I would appeal for two things. One of the things is to have some sort of a system whereby people who need to get to hospital or need to get to their doctor's appointments can travel, that they can get out of the jam, into the hard shoulder and go along, and that healthcare workers can do the same.
Have you experienced that yourself, Bill, where you haven't been able to, you know, where you're stuck in the line of traffic and you can't actually get to the top to even get past?
Well, I made it into work yesterday, but I was very late.
Okay.
Can I just make my other point?
Yeah, of course.
I just couldn't go at all. My other point is that if the protesters would allow the tankers to bring fuel around the country so that at least the country can keep going, like, they're making their point, and I understand why. But people are getting hurt, and they're going to get hurt, and I would be worried that people are going to die, you know? I don't believe the protesters or the government or the guards or anyone wants anyone to get hurt or die. But it's certainly set up to happen.
Now, I know protesters will say that fuel tankers in the past 24 hours haven't been stopped leaving some of the oil depots. And we've been getting texts in about that. But, I mean, you're telling us your own first-hand experience, Bill, of what you've witnessed. But as a result of all of this, you can't get to work today. I mean, it essentially sounds like, I mean, it's back to COVID, isn't it? That's kind of what, you know, you're nearly suggesting, that we nearly have a sort of a pass or a letter or some kind of a thing for essential workers to be able to get through.
Yes, yeah, and we'd need the help of the guards and the army to let that happen as well. You know, I mean, let the protesters make their point, but let people be safe as well, is what I'm saying, and let the government somehow talk to them. I know I didn't hear the news today, but I think you were saying at the start there was Is there some sort of conversation going on now?
There is. There's a meeting due to happen just after lunchtime today between government representatives and some of those from the representative bodies. And protesters said they've been asked and then they've been told they wouldn't be stopped from coming. And then we're hearing off the record, you know, heard Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, talking there about sources suggesting in some of the departments that it's only the official reps would actually be invited in or allowed into these meetings. So that'll all have to play out and we'll see how that goes throughout the day. But the reality is at 11:45 this lunchtime, we have people all across the country, Bill, like you, that are affected. And like Shane, that puts you and other, you know, petrol station and shop owners in a really difficult position, doesn't it? You know, where you're kind of been asked nearly to pick who you're going to serve.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not something that can be sustained for very long. Now, I heard that the speaker mentioned that maybe they were going to allow fuel out, but certainly we get supplied out of fines, and certainly there's a full blockade in fines, and we have no possibility of getting fuel at the moment. And I think that's going a step too far. Legitimate protest is fine, and I have no problem with it. But I think blocking the fuel from getting out for emergency services, for, you know, all life to continue. If a nurse or a doctor can't fuel their car to get to work, then what you're doing is wrong.
Listener says there's a no fuel protest up at the Apple Green in Mount Mellick this lunchtime. Maria's got in contact to say, I'm 100% behind the protesters. All we do in this country is moan and complain, but never do anything. The government can stop this if they agree to meet them. I'm a nurse and I say fair play to the protesters. This texter is concerned about the impact this could have on schools. My daughter's art project is due, a musical practical, supposed to be next week as well. This might have an impact on the leaving cert if the teachers and examiners don't have the capacity to travel. Texter in Roscommon says, stop the drama. My partner went to Dublin today and yesterday. We went to Cork yesterday from Roscommon for work and Dublin the day before. If you want to get somewhere, you'll get there. What do you say to that, listener, Bill? Because we do get lots of texters who say this has been totally overplayed.
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure groups out there that want to make their point and they'll say whatever they want to be believed. But I know the facts of what I'm facing this week.
And it puts you in a very difficult position, Bill. Obviously, somebody who's, you know, concerned and the line of work you're in, you want to be there, you want to be able to help patients. 1800 453 106, that's the number. Sheila's with us. Sheila, you run Clark's XL shop in Ballina in County Mayo. You have a petrol station. How are your supplies at the moment?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Supplies are tight. Is long and short. We had a delivery in yesterday morning, but there was such a run on the fuel all day yesterday that it's down to the wire at the moment now.
Like, roughly how much are we talking about? How much is left?
We could be out by evening. It's very, very likely actually that we will be.
And do you, and like, you know, and I know when I ask the same question of Shane, and I don't even like asking it, you know, is there a diktat on how much people can get? Because it puts you in a difficult position, Sheila.
It does. And more than Shane was saying, like, I'm not willing to subject my staff to the prospect of the abuse over trying to restrict people. We are doing a vehicle only restriction today, so no additional containers of fuel will be dispensed. We didn't do that yesterday. People just filled what they could. But the problem now going forward is that we had an order in for delivery tomorrow, but with the delays now getting stocks out from the refineries this morning, we won't get that delivery tomorrow, and no Sunday deliveries are available, so it will be Monday at the earliest before we'll be restocked.
Okay, so that means, you know, you and Ballina likely to, as you say, likely to be out of total fuel then from possibly later on this evening. How many other petrol stations?
We had the ambulance service ringing us yesterday to know would they be able to get fuel today. And we can't answer those kind of questions, you know. We're at the mercy, the same as everybody else, in terms of supplies and stocks. So if we have it, we'll sell it. But if we don't, we can't.
And, you know, I was listening to the news even just there before we started the show with Eamon at 12 and talking about this message, telling people don't be, banking or storing up fuel. Like, don't be going in panic buying, basically.
100%, 100%, Andrea, because this shortage now over the weekend is a direct result of the rush on the fuel yesterday. We had enough, like, normally a delivery like that would do us 6 days. So the fact that every vehicle in the county, it seemed, was filling up yesterday, has actually created this. It's a man-made shortage at this juncture. The oil is in the country. We just can't get it out to the to the retailers.
I know, but then I'd say people are listening to this and they're looking at videos on their phones and they're, you know, the head of fuels for Ireland talking about fears for up to 500 petrol stations possibly running dry by the end of today if these protests continue. Sure, people are scared of their lives. They wouldn't have fuel to get to hospital appointments.
No, and I appreciate that 100%. And I spoke to so many people yesterday who were in exactly that position. And then they were worried with the road blockages, whether or not they'd even be able to get through, even with the full tank of fuel. So, like, the fear is real, but by the same token, the fear at this stage is our enemy nearly, because what we're going to see now is, you know, further disruptions in supply chains. So as Shane was pointing out earlier, deliveries of foodstuffs now are going to be impacted because the fuel isn't there to fuel the delivery trucks. So it's going to have a massive knock-on effect in the supply chain. Look at what's the solution. But that's where we're at this particular moment. It's a perfect storm in terms of, and like, I speaking for myself, I'm 100% supportive of the protest.
Are you?
In terms of,
despite the impact, you are,
what they're trying to achieve. I am.
Yeah.
Because it's in everyone's best interest. Like, there's no winners here at the moment, Andrea. Well, maybe Donald Trump, but the rest of us are the ones suffering. So, you know, I'm totally in favour of the protest. What's going on is wrong. Like, people need to be able to get by. And especially, you know, in the west of Ireland, we have no alternative to private cars. They're already talking about cutting bus connections. So there is no real alternative to your private vehicle. So, you know, that's really even more punitive on rural people when it comes to transport and everything else. So, like, I completely get where they're coming from. But it is the straw that has broken people's backs at this point, because government measures over the last few years have made business in Ireland more and more difficult, in particular for small independent retailers. And you're going to see it coming down the line where we're losing indigenous production, we're losing indigenous industry, we're losing all of this stuff in favour of these big multinationals and multiples and discounters and everything coming into the country. And, like, while that's all good and well, you have to be able to maintain a level playing field and allow people to run their businesses and make a living. And that's not what's happening in this country. We've had so many measures brought in that this particular one now, I feel myself personally, is the one that has just pushed people over the edge.
It is the straw. It seems to have broke the camel's back.
Like,
there's no question.
Completely.
Yeah, no question about it.
Well,
look, thank you, Sheena, for getting in touch, for joining us here today, telling us that's the situation there in Ballina and County Mayo. This texter makes a good point. You know, and I'm sure this is a topic of conversation among the boards of management and schools and school principals around the country this Friday, heading back and opening their doors again on Monday morning. What's going to happen with the schools and the colleges next week? Will the staff and the students even be able to get in? I don't know. Maybe a school principal tuned into us this lunchtime might be able to tell us. 1800 453 106, that's the number. John is on the line. John, I believe you're hoping to get a flight today.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good, I'm not bad. Where are you, John?
I'm sitting in the car park and just dropped off my parents, managed to get to the airport, Andrea. Thank you.
Oh, brilliant. Good stuff.
Yeah, we avoided the M50. But yeah, the M50 southbound was closed and there was a lot of congestion on the backed up on the north side. But yeah, so we made it anyway. But that's the minor problem in relation to what's going on from what I can hear from your callers there. So my point is, and you were just talking to Sheila there, who's a retailer. So obviously there's huge issues in retail. So is the next step, when these guys get what they want, when this pressure group that's causing all this anarchy, is the next step that retailers go out and block the roads? Or what about the childcare sector? You know, I had a family member who battled hard to try and keep a business going for 10 years in the childcare sector, and eventually she was driven out of business. She just couldn't keep the business going. Huge problems in the childcare sector. What about nurses and guards and taxi drivers? Are they going to, you know, if they see that this pressure group, this vested interest that has created this mayhem, if they succeed, is the next step going to be that all pressure groups are going to say, right, we need to push harder, we need to be more aggressive, we need to cause more anarchy? And where does that lead? Where does that lead us to?
But to be fair, so you disagree with the protesters and what's happening then, John? But I mean, to be fair to those protesters, they've broad support. mean, we've heard it here today, even by business people affected.
Well, I don't agree with that, Andrea. I don't agree with that. There's a lot of nonsense on social media. I don't spend a lot of time on social media, but they're obviously pushing that very, very aggressively. Where is their mandate, Andrea? Who are these people? You know, what is their relationship with the Irish Hauliers and the Irish Farmers Association? I have no involvement with those bodies. Mm. I don't know anything about the politics, but I think people in the media need to be asking those questions. Who are these people and why are they not talking to the Irish Hauliers Association and the Irish Farmers Association and all the other the farmers associations and the various official representatives of the farmers organizations have been very quiet. Why aren't the media talking to these people and saying, what's your view on this? We don't run you cannot run a country by mob rule, and that's what's going on.
You think
here.
This is mob rule? Well, it's funny. Like, we spoke to protesters. We were down broadcasting ourselves here in the show yesterday, actually, from O'Connell Street, and we spoke to those that were part of it, and they made the point that they feel that there needed to be a greater push from the likes of these representative bodies in terms of the demands, and the list of
fine.
Those demands have
fine.
Been mentioned
so,
today.
Yeah, fine, absolutely.
Okay.
Totally
okay.
agree. I agree, their voice needs to be heard, but not by closing roads, because
okay.
the next is you know, every sector is going to...
How long does it go on? How long does it go on? And that is a fair question, John. And look, thanks for getting in touch with us. Michael is on the line. Michael, you're in Castlebar, is that right? You're currently at a petrol station.
Yes.
What's the situation there, Michael?
The situation is we're low on stock and a lot of the filling stations around Castlebar, and we don't know when the next delivery will come in. It's hard to say. They're supposed to get a load tomorrow morning. Hopefully it will come to the stations. Some of them probably might get some today. I don't know what's going to be the outcome of it. If this meeting in the afternoon doesn't give results, I don't know what's going to be the situation.
Do you own the Circle K Express there, is it?
No, I don't. No, I don't own it.
You're just there. You're just
yeah.
a commuter passing, yeah. Have they diesel left at all?
No diesel here in this one now at the moment.
There's no diesel there, okay. It's just worth, you know, letting listeners know that, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that's Monine, is it? Is that where you are?
That's Monine, yeah. Monine roundabout has no diesel at the moment.
Okay. And have you been stuck in traffic, or what's the traffic situation like in Castlebar?
No, the traffic around this down here is okay. There's no
Good.
Problem with traffic down here.
Yeah. Do you support the protesters, Michael?
Yes, because I believe we have to get the running costs of diesel on, and especially on lorries and like everything has to be delivered by road down in most of the country, and at the price it was at, it was becoming unjustifiable, and then it has to be passed on to the consumer, and where is the consumer going to be able to pay these higher price for food and everything? It's not in it, and it makes no sense that they're trying to not negotiate with them and get the job back running, because if they don't, it won't carry on anyways. This is going to be the outcome anyways at the end of the day, because food has to be couriered around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the price of road diesel, and the price of agricultural diesel for setting crops or anything for the year or going ahead as the year goes on, it's unmaintainable. It's not possible to get it.
What about to John's point there, you know, that leave the actual representative bodies off to negotiate like this? Leave them off to do the negotiating. Let them do it.
But they won't take in. They won't accept. They have asked them to go in to meet them. They're supposed to meet them today. Now, they could have met them Wednesday when they seen this was accumulating and getting stronger. But they still refuse to meet them.
You think there should have been a meeting earlier in the week?
Much earlier.
Yeah. What about you, Simon? What point did you want to make, Simon, about this today?
Hello, me, is it?
Yes,
hello.
Simon, how are you doing? How are things?
Yeah, no, I'm not too bad, but I'd like to know what category I come under. They're saying they only meet a pint of bodies. I'm a sole trader, like most of the people that are out there blocking up. I'm a sole trader, and I don't come under a haulier, and I don't come under farmers. I don't come under any of that. But my fuel bill went up €850 a week. I'm a small trader. I'm employing six people, and I can't sustain that. Like, but I don't come under any of those government recognised bodies. So how do we get to talk to the government? Mm. Did we not elect the TDs? We elected those TDs, but we can't talk to them.
Yeah, so you're not part of the IFA, you're not part of the college group.
I don't come under those categories, you see. But did I not elect them? Did we not elect those TDs? Mm. Are they not our elected bodies?
And are you part of the protest?
One of my vans was in the protest on O'Connell Street the first day, and there's another one down. We have been in part of it, yes. But I'm asking, what sector do I come under? And are the TDs that we voted for, are they not the people that we elected as our spokesman? But we can't speak to them because they won't speak to us. So who do we speak to? What do we do? You tell me, or let the TDs tell me what to do. Because we voted these people in. But yet we can't talk to them.
You can't get a chance to talk to them. That's a fair point and it's a fair question. Now, go back to Bill that was with me a little earlier today and to Shane and to Sheila. Bill is a healthcare worker who can't get into work. He's concerned about his patients. Shane and Sheila...
I'm quite sure he would get into work.
But he says he can't with the traffic.
I could if he wanted to. One of my vans went up to Mayo yesterday. One went to Dublin. They had no problem getting something back, whatever. We perishable goods that we have to get rid of. And we'll do it. And I know that the blockade, if people go up and say they're sick or whatever, they will let them through.
Okay. Well, look, there's an awful lot of
bad things being said that are absolutely not true. You heard, I don't know if you heard your man being interviewed yesterday that was over the ambulances. And he said he had no problem whatsoever. His ambulances were getting through with no hold up, no whatsoever. But that's all been ignored.
I mean, it's not being ignored. I mean, and I'm quite happy. There's
a healthcare worker. If he went straight up to him, listen, I'm a doctor, I'm a healthcare worker, I need to get to hospital. They will let him through straight away. I know what it will.
Well, I have no problem listening to all sides of this debate, Simon. No issue with that whatsoever.
Someone tell me then, the TDs, Micheál Martin or Simon Harris, what category do I come under? And who's my spokesman? I thought my spokesman were the TDs. They won't talk to you. They will not talk to us.
Well, I heard then. We voted
these people in. And now they won't talk to us.
Just on that, Minister Dara O'Brien, he was on here with Claire a little earlier today, and he was asked about whether or not those protesting or could form part of the delegation.
I'm not going to dictate who is part of the delegations, but what needs to happen is the blockade needs to end, because we can talk about who's coming into meetings and who's discussing various different important items.
Mm-hmm.
The reality that we have right now in this country is that we have four courts going dry completely, supply of critical fuels being blocked, emergency services being curtailed. This is extremely serious. This can stop now today, and it should.
Look, we're going to keep you posted on that meeting as that happens. It's due to happen, I think, just after lunchtime today, so there'll be further developments on that. Simon, stick with me for a moment. Dylan's on the line. Dylan, you're in your early 20s, is that right? You wanted to make a point about this.
Yes, I'm in my early 20s. I'm 24 years old of age. I want to talk on behalf of people of Ireland and my generation, because it has gone beyond a joke at this stage. I am fully behind this protest. It shouldn't even have happened. In 2021, we're restricted to move. In 2026, it's too expensive to move. I hear all these people going about fuel, can't make appointments or anything. No one, the government didn't care when they were cancelling appointments in 2021 for 2 years.
This is about the COVID restrictions, Dylan, is it?
Yeah, yeah. You had the COVID restrictions. Hospital appointments were closed
for
2 years.
Yeah.
But now people are giving out, going, oh, hospital appointments this, hospital appointments that.
Are you part of the protest or any of the protests or just supporting?
I'm working at the minute because my job can't afford to stop working.
Mm.
I'm in waste management. In 3 months, waste management companies could all be bankrupt and no one's rubbish is going to get picked. But everyone is being too naive and they're not listening to actual workers, farmers, haulers, deliveries. They're the ones that put the food in the shelves in the country. And people are going, oh, I agree with the protest, but what they're doing is wrong. It has came to such a stage that it's either coming to this or the next thing, if they put the army on citizens of Ireland, it's going to end up in a civil war or a revolution. That's how bad the country's gone to. I know it's that bad it's going to get. I'm 24 years old. I had to move closer into the city to go to work. I sold my car 2 months ago because I've raised and searched the economy and seen how bad the diesel was. I've told my business bosses, I've told all my friends to get rid of their cars, go on bikes and scooters, because the tax on everything, the tax on rent has gone up, the tax on diesel, the tax on everything has gone up. I have friends who are 20, 21, 22 who have kids, can't move out of hotels, can't move out of hostels, can't even move out of parents' house to save up 100 quid a week. We can't do none of that. I can't even
You're fed up, Dylan. You're fed up.
Fed up. Yeah. Fed up is the least of the words. I have friends who have killed themselves because of this.
Okay.
Or they've immigrated to other countries because the country's so bad. Half of my school year is either dead, prison, or in other countries because this country's so bad.
Well, look, it's, I can hear the passion. I can hear the passion, Dylan, in your, you know, in your voice today. There's no doubt about that. And like there's no doubt about it. There's so many people getting in touch with us today, like Dylan, in their early 20s, in their early 30s, who feel very passionately about this and who do stand firm with protesters. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. The government could end this if they bring down the fuel prices significantly. I haven't heard a single person given out about the protesters, says this texter. And one more for the moment. My son is in university this week. His midterm exams due to happen have now been postponed because some lecturers and students, they couldn't make it in. Keep your thoughts coming into us. We're going to stick with this. We'll come back to it as well on the programme today. We want to hear from you. Of course, we're continuing our conversation about these fuel protests. We've plenty more to come, though, on the show today. Ask me anything. What exactly does a genealogist do? And disability advocate Paddy Smith is going to be with me to tell me why he's been accused of faking his disability. I mean, imagine, could you hear anything more ridiculous? Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. Political correspondent Sean Defoe was with me on the line today because, Sean, the ministers are to meet with the representatives of the haulage and farming communities to discuss the fuel prices, but the protest ringleaders, can we confirm now today, have they actually been asked to this meeting?
No, they haven't been asked. So this obviously kind of broke a bit last night. Well, yeah, this is the thing. You're sort of like, maybe you can bring a mate of a plus one like to a dodgy wedding. So look, the story is that James Gagan, who is a representative who was on News Talk Breakfast with Anton, said he got an invite from John Connolly TD. Now, John Connolly came straight on air afterwards to say that is absolutely not the case. And so there's obviously some element of misunderstanding there, even though there are some fuel reps who are coming up to Dublin now for thinking that they have a meeting. What ministers have said, including Dara Bryan and Claire Byrne earlier, is that there is no direct invite to them. They've invited 10 different groups that they've been talking with throughout the week anyway, including the likes of the Road Haulage Association, the IFA, ICMSA, Mackinac Firma, these kind of organisations that they've been trying to reach a deal with outside of all this protest about support for them. And the ministers have kind of been one foot in and one foot out. They're saying, we're not dictating who you can bring into the meeting. Each of them has a delegation of two people that they can bring with them. So if you wanted to bring a protester, you can bring a protester. In reality, with only two of them, they're each bringing their own members, had to submit names to the Department of Agriculture, I think it was last night rather even than early this morning, to say who they're bringing. And while, say, the Road Haulage Association did meet protesters earlier to get their input, from what I understand, they're not bringing them into the meeting. And indeed, to go one step further, I spoke to someone in the Department of Agriculture who said absolutely there will not be any protesters in there. They will be checking names on the door, almost like a bouncer going into a nightclub, and that any minister who has been suggesting that maybe there's this sort of plus one system on the cards is delving into fake news.
So what will the protesters do then? They just wait outside?
I certainly imagine they're going to show up outside and protest and try and catch maybe some of the ministers on the way in. So you've got the likes of Dara O'Brien, Martin Hayden, Noel Grealish, Michael Healy-Ray going in as well to see what the story is. And I'm sure that they will be outside of that and trying to make their point. They've obviously had some meetings there with the likes of the Road Haulage Association as well to get it across. But look, I think this is a government strategy more so than what the protesters are going to do. So the way, from talking to ministers and people inside today, that they see out of this is they don't want to meet the protesters directly because there is a fear that, given they're not doing this through the official channels that the Taoiseach has been talking about, that if you do it for them, suddenly the official channels are scrapped. And if the teachers or the nurses or anybody else in a few months' time, or anyone, frankly, with a couple of vans and a grievance, could come in and block up the Dublin city centre or anywhere else and demand to meet the Taoiseach.
Just on that, we had a really interesting caller, Sean, who got in touch with us in the first part of the programme today, you know, to say that like he's a sole trader, he isn't a farmer, he doesn't work in haulage, he's not an agricultural contractor, and he feels that he actually isn't represented by any of these 10 representative organisations, that he's represented by the TDs that are in Dáil Éireann. And like his point today was, who's going to advocate on his behalf?
Yeah, and that's a fair point that a lot of people have been making. I didn't hear the piece, though I heard about the piece, if you know what I mean. And it, probably people would say that the likes of IBEC, for example, are at that meeting and that they, you know, they would be representative of small employers and self-employed people, as well as bigger groups. So maybe there's that there. You can go to your local TD, of course, as well. What the government would say is there is a difference between your local TD, who is acting on your behalf, and government, and that when ministers are appointed, they are to represent the entirety of the country and not just their own constituents. So that is sort of one way around it. But that also just you can't break down the established diplomatic channels that are there. And so to get back to what they are going to do, and the way I think the government sees a path out of this, is that there will be talks today with those 10 groups who represent the vast majority of the likes of hauliers and farmers and other people who are protesting at the minute, a lot of them who aren't on the protest lines at all. A deal is very close to being done on extra supports that will look like maybe what we saw during COVID. We don't know exactly what's going to be in there, but for example,
like the pup payment.
Not necessarily like the pup payment. There was a payment for hauliers during the pandemic where they got 100 quid per vehicle per week for a period of time while there was a real squeeze on fuel, and maybe in the aftermath of the Ukraine war as well, there was other supports that were brought in. So we don't know exactly what that makeup is going to look like. But if you have all of the official organisations getting on board with this and saying this is the, you know, the best we can do for now, etc., one, there will be people who are out protesting now who are probably looking for an out before the schools go back on Monday and before things ramp up and get more aggressive or the army comes in or whatever. But also then it makes very hard for other people who are out there to continue to have public support if they're disrupting.
We'll come to those messages in a moment. So you envisage that we're likely to see some announcement then, Sean, possibly later on today as a result of this meeting. Will you just clarify, the meeting that is happening today, was that previously planned or is it as a result of the protests over the past 4 days?
No, previously planned. So yeah. I think it was set in the early part of this week, maybe. I can't remember the exact thing. So this has been going on in the background anyway. This is not like, oh yeah, we're because of all the pressure that's bringing on at the minute.
So the protesters haven't demanded a meeting and got it, basically, is the upshot of this.
Pretty much. They've obviously demanded their meeting. But also, like, they've changed their demand so many times. People who will have heard James Gagan on Breakfast this morning. Initially it was, well, meet with us and once we have a meeting, we'll go. And then it became, well, we want the meeting, but we also want caps on tax and we want oil drilling off the west coast of Ireland. So speaking to ministers this afternoon, that's just kind of reinforced to them that they can't negotiate with a lot of these people because they don't know, even if they did do a deal with somebody in Dublin, is everyone in Limerick listening?
Sean Defoe, political correspondent. Sean will have more from that meeting due to happen this afternoon here on News Talk throughout the day. As a result of all of this, of course, the road closures, traffic delays on roads and networks, motorway networks right across the country. Motoring expert for CarZone, Conor Faulkner, is with me on the line today. Because, Conor, you've been looking at, I suppose, some of the biggest traffic jams and backlogs across the country. Where are they?
Well, day four and no sign of relief, Andrea. There are almost two separate concerns. One is the blockading of the fuel depots, which is affecting fuel supply. And you know, actually, we've had forecourts run dry in some parts of the country, the west of the country, the south of the country. A serious economic and social concern there. And the other one is just the traffic disruption. And, you know, there are places in Dublin, in Limerick, in Cork and various others, and particularly the motorway network. And at the moment, access to the airport is very difficult. So, you know, these are the pinch points of the Irish economy and of Irish society, very, very important, strategically important to the country. They are being pinched by this protest action, which is now in day four, Andrea. And, you know, while there's a broad public sympathy for the problems faced by hauliers and farmers and others, you know, your right to protest is not unlimited. And the extent of the collateral damage, we spoke the other day, Andrea, about the collateral damage being caused by these protests. And to my mind, it has exceeded anything that you could call reasonable. There is too much economic and social harm being done to innocent people in protesters making their point. And you know, I think the active stage of the protest should now close.
Yeah, there's plenty of listeners, I should say too though, Conor, you know, plenty of listeners getting in touch with us here on the text line today talking about the fact that they still fully support those protesting and without question. I actually just put a poll up as well too on my Instagram account at Andrea Gilligan 1 if people want to get involved in that. Leo was with us. Leo, you got in touch with the programme. What's your story?
Hi, I'm just ringing up as I understand completely. I've literally come and grown up on a farm. I know so many people who are farming contractors. I know how tight the margins are. I really believe, just the effect on myself personally, I'm literally, my father has gone into the hospital there after falling into the depths of dementia. And he's in a hospital in the next county, and I'm literally having to decide whether to visit him or have fuel to be able to be sure I'll be able to go to the shops this time next week, you know, and go to the and all the appointments, the groceries. I'm a registered carer at the moment, and if I don't have my car, I can't care properly for the individual I'm caring for. I completely understand both points, but I think this is a turning point. I'm talking straight to the truckers who are now sitting in their cabs, and the contract labourers are sitting in their cabs on the motorways across the country. This is a turning point for ye. You have made your points, but you, out of desperation that I completely understand, you have progressed and focused on passing the message through very extreme measures that you've taken to block fuel depots from Cork all along the West Coast to Galway as well. This is a turning point for you. If you want to maintain the position of support that you have across the country, you need to change what you're focusing on, because you're targeting a blanket targeting of the entire country. You now need to target the government. You need to block everybody from the Taoiseach to the cleaners going in and out of the Dáil. You need to fill up Kildare Street. You need to fill up... another point as well. I can't understand why they've retracted and opened up a street in the middle of Dublin city centre. I believe it's along Bachelor's Walk. I can't understand why they've retracted their protest from there, and they're still...
Because the traffic was at a
fuel depot.
Because the traffic, yes, it was what day is today? Wednesday, I was down there myself. The queues of traffic, Leo, for hours along the quays yesterday. So the whole city was at a complete standstill.
They should shut down the government buildings. They should be outside the U.S. embassy. They should shut down the U.S. embassy.
So you think the protest is just it's directed at the wrong buildings and people, that the people are being affected.
I agreed with it. Definitely block up the country for a day, but then turn to the U.S. embassy. Make it international news. Block up the embassy in the U.S. For the U.S. Block up everybody from the president down to the cleaners that clean the Dáil. Block them all from going in and outside of their buildings from now on. Because if you continue with your current strategy, you will lose the truckers, the tractor contractors. You will lose your... any public support that you currently have.
So just
I don't know that many would suggest
that actually, you know, blocking people into buildings is either the right idea. But I take the point that you're making, that you feel it's basically gone too far, and the kind of the ordinary people trying to get to and from work, and like you in your position, Leo, trying to get to hospital to visit your dad. I'm curious, have you actually been unable to get to see your dad? Because, I mean, every time we speak to somebody in the who's trying to get to a medical appointment or a carer, we get texts from listeners saying that's not happening, that everyone's getting through the barricades.
I'm in a position now where I was planning to go down tomorrow, and I visited my father a while ago just to collect the dirty clothes and to bring in a new bag of clothes and a few sweets for him. And it was my first time seeing him since he went into dementia. And it was heartbreaking. And just, I can't go into him now. Like, he stopped talking in the last 2 days. I called him over the phone and he was talking. He had some sentences lacking, but I can't. He wasn't able to talk the last time I saw him.
Okay.
And I don't know what's going to happen in the next week. It's that he declined so quickly, and I can't take a chance going in tomorrow, because will I have enough petrol in 10 days' time? Because this government doesn't even know whether there is. This government has officially not even extended the protesters' invitation to the protesters for the 2 p.m. meeting today. Why? Because there's not one organization that is representing the protesters.
Well, no,
they are indirectly being represented from MOCRA to the IFA all of these.
Well, they say they are representing them. But look, I take your point. But it's a difficult position for you, Leo, to be in to decide whether or not you're going to go and visit your dad and will you actually have enough petrol to get there. I'm sure it's stressful situation. And thank you, Leo, for getting in touch and sharing that with us. I just want to bring Tracy in for a quick moment. Tracy, you're a carer.
Yep.
Why did you get in touch?
Care for Willow. Exactly what Leo says. You know, initially fine, the protest, everybody was out in support, but now it's gone too far. They're holding the whole country to ransom. Absolutely. Really forcing restrictions on everybody, you know, and people like us are already incredibly vulnerable. We rely on access to our vehicles, fuel, you know, the immediacy of needing a hospital appointment, waiting 6 months to get a hospital appointment and possibly missing it because you can't access it. My husband travelled home from Belfast yesterday and he said the protests were ridiculous. What they actually did as he came back into Southern Ireland was they blocked parts of the motorway that they had to go up off the exit, over the flyover and down the other side. So who's been impacted? They're forcing them off the road. More fuel being wasted by the general public. The government are not being directly affected. There are other ways to do this protest, but I don't think that they are really considering everybody in it, you know, and I don't think that they're, you know, looking at the impact nationally. And people are all calling out being supportive. I know a lot of people aren't supportive, but people are afraid to say this because we are all impacted by the cost of living crisis. Everybody is.
Reaction's
but we
very,
can't down to...
No, reaction is very mixed and it's very split, I should say. You know, I'd say, just from looking at the text, you know, huge proportion in support of the protesters and at the same time, probably equal amount saying that they don't no longer support them. So, look, it's hard to get a definitive answer on that. Rory, you wanted to make a quick point as well.
Yeah, I just feel that it's a difficult situation for all. I 100% back the protest, absolutely. As a young person myself, I am absolutely disgusted with this government over the last 2 years. And in particular, the response to this protest. I mean, for Jim O'Callaghan to come out and try to say that these protests were influenced by outside external factors is absolutely disgraceful. And for Micheál Martin to not even want to engage with a protester who approached him down in Cork just shows their attitude towards these people.
Yeah, well, I know this government still, I've heard Jim O'Callaghan saying that in relation to some of the people that were there at the protest and standing firm on that. But do you think there will be some movement today or perhaps some kind of measures announced that might hopefully end this?
Back and forth. As you know yourself, I've been following it quite closely. I mean, the government are saying one thing, the protesters are saying another. At the end of the day, the IFA and the Road Haulers Association obviously aren't doing their job. Because if they were, we wouldn't be in this position. They're obviously not voicing the concerns enough or getting the deal farmers want.
I know, but what you want and what you demand can be two different things.
I fully appreciate that. But it's gotten to the point, as you've heard yourself, that like these farmers are going out of work in 4 weeks.
I know.
Like this is.
I met many of them.
We have a Minister for Justice, okay, just for 1 second, who represents Dublin Bay South, who's an ex-barrister. Who is completely well off himself?
I don't think that's fair to say that
Taoiseach has been a TD for almost 40 years now. When's the last time that man actually sat down and filled up his own tank? Honestly, and it didn't come from taxpayers' money. Has anyone actually thought about that? When's the last time he had to worry about this situation?
Yeah. Okay. Well, look. That's look. You're not alone in your view, Rory. I have to, you know, to be fair, you're not alone in making those points today. And there's plenty of texts we could read out, and others will say, like, you know, the government have introduced excise measures on the 25th of March, and there is going to be a meeting this afternoon, and who knows what's going to come from that. I mean, my only question with regards to all of this is, even if they do announce some measures later today, is it going to be enough? Like, is that actually going to mean the protesters will stand down? If you don't get everything you've demanded or ticked in the box, will you be happy with what you do get? I don't have the answer to that. I don't know. I'm sure we'll talk about it Monday again. Rory, Tracy, Leo was with us, Conor Faulkner, our own Sean Defoe. He'll keep you posted here in the station. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.